Well, a few weeks ago, we heard this knocking sound coming from the basement. It was I don't know how to describe it. It's just kind of this knock, and then a few seconds later, maybe 20, 30 seconds after that, we'd kind of hear it again, and you know, 20, 30 seconds later, we'd kind of hear it again, and just this sound. And the weather was fine, so we couldn't attest it to that. And so the kids and I went downstairs and saw this bird basically kind of dive bombing one of the basement windows. And so it would come in, it would hit the window, and then kind of go back up into its flight pattern, and then come back down and hit the window. And this happened for, about every few seconds for, an hour or two. And it was rather annoying. And so the kids and I were like, well, what can we do? And so we had gotten the boys these airsoft guns for Christmas. And I thought, well, what better way to try these things out than bust those guns out and pump that bird full of lead. And so the boys excitedly dug in, and my wife, their mom, is a little concerned at this point. So we're not going to shoot the bird. We're just going to shoot in the direction of the bird to kind of scare it a little bit. And so we put the pellets into the gun, and sadly enough, we didn't have any batteries. I'm like, we're out of AA's. Are you kidding me? And so that wasn't going to work. And so I did, I think, what most people would do after that. I hopped on Google and typed in, bird keeps flying into my window, and hit go. And we're, of course, there's like lots of pages and lots of different answers. And so I found one where the website ended in .edu, because that comes from like a college, I think, or, a university. I'm like, oh, this looks good. And so sure enough, there's this whole explanation on why male robins do this. Apparently, a male robin sees its reflection in a window and thinks it's a rival male robin trying to take over its turf, apparently. So this is like bird gang warfare type of thing. So the robin sees what he thinks is its rival and is trying to take it out, not knowing that it's, taking itself out. Actually, it's taking my window out. And so I said, well, I can play the robin's game. And so I went to the garage. We had this old mirror type of thing. And so I said, I'm going to place this mirror in our yard somewhere, kind of close to the window. And sure enough, the robin, I'm thinking the robin will see its reflection in the mirror and then, go at that instead of my window. Well, it never did that. And so I said, well, boys, we're going to have to cover the window somehow. And so when we had bought the kids these airsoft guns, we'd bought them these zombie targets as well. Not quite like that, but like that. And so we taped these on the outside of the window, about two or three of them. Now the bird can't see its, reflection anymore, right? So sure enough, that did work. And about later that afternoon, it was at my neighbor's house, hitting her window. Well, Faith didn't have any zombie pictures. Her girls didn't have any zombie pictures. So what they did is they got some butcher paper and created zombies on the paper and hung them up. You know how some neighborhoods never take down their Christmas decorations? Ours looked like it never took down its Halloween decorations. We had these just crazy stuff, to scare the bird away. And finally, it worked. So that was good. But I think we all have crazy animal stories, right? We could probably spend our time together, you and I, just sharing crazy animal stories. Dogs, cats, birds, just doing crazy stuff. Well, for the month of June, we're going to look at crazy animal stories from the Bible. Today, we're looking at Daniel in a den of lions. Next week, we're looking at Balaam and a talking donkey. The week after that, Burke will be with us, and he'll be talking about a prophet who basically uses a gang of bears to destroy some people. So we're looking at some crazy stuff, and really throughout the summer. When Doug's away, the mice will play. And so we're going to go to some places in Scripture that we're just going to have some fun with, and when he gets back, he can resume maybe some normal stuff. But a couple of rules while Burke and I are teaching this summer. Rule number one is that we believe the Bible to be true. That might sound funny here at a church, but we do believe the Bible to be true. So each of these stories, we're not going to spend a lot of time trying to, you know, convince us that, you know, this happened or that happened or how it happened. We're just going to kind of work off the assumption that, you know, these events are true. Pastor Doug has taught quite extensively on the reliability and the validity of the scriptures. If you're interested in some of those messages or some of that information, I'd be happy to point you to that. You can talk to me after service or shoot me an email. The second rule is this: just because the stories are crazy doesn't necessarily make them untrue, right? About a month ago, this dog here dialed 911 to save his owner's life. His owner was having some type of medical event. I forget if it was a heart attack or stroke or what. Was basically becoming unresponsive. The dog hops on the phone, somehow dials 911. Paramedics come, save his life, okay? I want to keep it fair because some of you are cat people, right? I'm not, but that's okay. But apparently a couple of weeks ago, this isn't the best picture, but apparently a cat jumped in the way of a dog who was trying to attack a boy. So this cat saved this this boy's life. So if you were to tell me that those things happen, I'd say no way, especially the cat. No offense, you cat people, but especially the cat getting in the way of the dog, all right? But those things happen. Okay, and so just because these things are crazy, just, you know, work with us a little bit. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 6, looking at Daniel in the lion's den. If you're using the Bibles in the seats in front of you, it's page 672. Otherwise, we'll have the words on the screen behind me as well. Let's jump in. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interest. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling government affairs. But they could not find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so that it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Couple things to point out here. First thing is this. Daniel is he's an Israelite. He's a Jewish person, but he's not in Israel. They find themselves in what we call exile. When you read the Old Testament, you learn or you come across pretty quick that God has a special connection or relationship with the Israelite people. And when the Israelites find themselves in Egypt, remember, Moses rises up and takes them out of Egypt into the Promised Land. And throughout the first part of the Old Testament, God says, you know, if you follow my law, if you do what I say, you get to stay in the land, things will go well for you. But if you don't follow my law, and if you don't do what I say, things will not go well for you, and you'll be removed from the land. Well, this is what has happened. The Israelite people have not followed God, and so God has followed through on his threat, on his promise, and has exiled the people away from Israel into Babylon. This is a map that kind of shows the Middle East at this time period. You can see Babylon is kind of in the middle, slightly to the right there. And that's where Daniel and a lot of the other Jewish exiles find themselves. Now, Daniel has done well for himself, though, in this foreign empire. He has excellent leadership and administrative gifts. In fact, scriptures say that he is faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Daniel is above reproach. In fact, he is going to be the prime minister in this government. And that's got these other high officials a little bit jealous, a little bit envious of Daniel. Because here's this outsider, this person from a foreign land, from a foreign people group, who's going to be basically the number two guy throughout this whole empire. And so they do what any good political leader would do, right? Find some dirt on this guy. Go back to Daniel's, you know, high school days. Go back to his crazy college days. Find something on this guy that will discredit Daniel from service in our empire. But they can't find anything. Daniel is faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. We could spend the rest of our time talking about the importance of being people who are faithful and always responsible and completely trustworthy. Daniel is an example of a life whose behavior matches his values. There is complete integrity within the life of Daniel. So much so that when they go to find dirt, they can't find one speck that would discredit him from service. And so their only recourse then is to pass a law that they will know, that they know will put Daniel into a difficult position. So they pass this law that anyone prays to anyone other than the king for the next 3 days will be thrown in to the lion's den. And the king goes along with it for a couple of reasons. First, reason is probably obvious. If you were the king and your closest advisors came to you and said, hey, king, we want to pass a law that for the next 30 days, the people are basically just going to worship you. Are you okay with that? Yeah, I think I'm okay with that if I'm the king. Okay, that's going to be a no-brainer. But the second thing is there's 120 of these provinces or 120 states, and there's different leadership within those states and different cultures and different groups. And so this is a good unification tool. This kind of unifies the whole kingdom under King Darius. So the king signs the law. Anyone who prays or caught violating the law is going to the lion's den, which we need to remember or realize or understand that if you were going to go to the lion's den, you were going to what? You're going to die there. You're not going to escape that. It's a death sentence. If you grew up in Sunday school like I did, you get this picture of Daniel kind of chilling with the lions, kind of just hanging out, and, you know, we're like drinking coffee and Cokes together, and there's these cute, cuddly, you know, stuffed lions. That's not it. You have to think more gladiator type of lions, okay, who want to rip his limbs off when he comes in there. So if Daniel goes there, he's going there to die. But I want to pause for a minute and maybe connect one part of Daniel's story with our story. I think some of us who follow Jesus are perhaps sensing a shift or a change in the culture or in our country or in the government or whatever that isn't as friendly to the Christian faith maybe as we're used to it being, or maybe as it was in the past. And we see laws or see decisions made where that maybe upset us or get us all fired up to say, oh, this isn't matching my Christian belief or my Christian values. Whether it was Babylon back then or America today, laws are built on values. Laws get passed on the things that a people or a group of people or that a leadership value. And so I believe that's why there's a lot of friction or conflict within our nation today, is because there's differing sets of values. One group maybe values this, and so we pass laws that match those values, but it doesn't really, you know, jive or equal with another group who has different values and wants different laws passed. And rather than try to change the values, we instead try to attack the problem from the legal side and say, we need to get laws passed to match our values. That's backwards. And that will rarely work. If you're dissatisfied with how things are happening, we need to work on the values piece of it. Because laws follow values. And notice Daniel, when a law gets passed that is in direct conflict with his personal values, notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't complain. He doesn't fight it. He doesn't whine. Instead, he does this. Verse 10. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. These verses represent what I might call an integrity check. These verses are designed to test Daniel and his commitment. Is he going to continue his faith in God despite the fact that this law has been passed to trap him? Or is he going to bow to the political pressure, realizing that he's high up in this kingdom, and try to forsake God to keep his position? Daniel simply continues on with his faith in God, practices it as he's always practiced, knowing that his faith in God is of higher importance than the law that the government has set. You know, each of us faces those integrity checks. You faced them in your past, you're going to face them in your future. You're going to face times that test your commitment to your values. If you don't, then those values are just really good goals, really good things. But if there's never any test to test whether you're actually committed to that thing, how do you know if it's a value or just something that you want to see happen in your life? These integrity tests can be smaller things, you know, seemingly insignificant things like, you get too much change back at the store, or they forget to charge you for something. But they can be bigger things. Some of you maybe work in workplaces, or some of us work in workplaces maybe where you're tested to do something unethical. Not illegal, but unethical. You know it's not right. And that's a test. Are you going to follow through on that? Or are you going to take a stand and do something different? Daniel is tested. And what's going to happen after his test? Verse 12. The tattletales, so they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. King, did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone divine or human except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replies, that decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. So then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and could not sleep at all that night. This part of the story bothers me. Maybe it bothers you too. Because once Daniel passes that integrity check, once he passes the test of whether he's going to remain committed to God or not, it's not supposed to end like that. He's not supposed to still get the consequence of the lion's den. He's supposed to be rescued. The king is supposed to realize, oh my goodness, it's Daniel that this law was passed for? I need to find a way to get him out of it. I need to change the law. And so, I mean, some of that does happen, right? The king does take his time and tries to find a loophole to get Daniel out of this very difficult situation. But his advisors are correct. It's impossible for the king to reverse that law. If the king would have done that, he too would have faced some rather difficult circumstances himself. And so Daniel is headed to the den of lions to die. And that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. and that doesn't seem just. Why does Daniel have to die for doing the right thing? Shouldn't he be spared because he passed the test? I think it's helpful to remember, in this life, you and I are going to experience three different types of suffering. And the first type of suffering is what we might call common suffering. And this is suffering that results simply by you and I being human beings. These are things like illness, disease, death, natural disasters. These are just things that we have to suffer through for being a human being. Some of us are maybe going to suffer a little bit more on those things. We're going to either have more illness or sickness in our life. We're going to maybe lose more loved ones than most. But all of us at one point or another are going to experience that type of suffering. The second type of suffering is choice suffering. And choice suffering is the consequences that result from poor decisions that you and I make. And sometimes we're tempted to maybe see choice suffering as common suffering. If I have a, you know, piece of chocolate cake and a pop for every meal, every day of the week, every week of the month, every month of the year, I'm going to have some rather significant things happen to me health-wise, am I not? That's not a good diet. And when those health problems come, I can be tempted to go, oh my, this is common suffering. I'm just sick because people get sick. No, I am sick because I eat cake and drink Coke every meal of every day. My poor choices have led to that suffering. But Daniel isn't experiencing common suffering or choice suffering. Daniel's experiencing maybe what we would call Christian suffering. This is the kind of suffering you and I endure because of our faith in Jesus. This is the kind of suffering we endure when we pass that integrity check and still have to face the consequence of it. Maybe, and again, this might not seem like suffering, but maybe you invite someone to church and they reject you. Maybe you're at work and you refuse to laugh at the inappropriate joke, or you refuse to participate in the break room gossip and people ostracize you because of that. Maybe that's suffering. Maybe you give a tithe or give of your possessions or your resources to here or to elsewhere. You're not able to have the lifestyle that others have. That can be a form of suffering. The possibilities are endless, but the fact is that you and I, when we face these integrity checks, these tests along the way, you can almost bet that we're going to have some Christian type of suffering come with those as well. Well, how does Daniel's story end up? Verse 19. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got out there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angels to shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Now that's the happily ever after ending that you expect with the story, isn't it? And yet that leaves us with maybe a couple of different thoughts as we conclude. The first thought is, whether we're going through common suffering or choice suffering or Christian suffering, we can know that God is with us. Now that doesn't mean that every suffering we go through, God's going to silence our lions. We can pray for God to silence the lions. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. But I want you to know that when you're going through those difficult times, know that God is with you. Know that God is with you. And finally, it might be possible that your suffering and my suffering is being used for a higher purpose. I think one of the most remarkable things about Daniel and his story is that when we look towards the New Testament, and when we look at the birth of Jesus in the book of Matthew, And Matthew chapter 2 talks about these wise men in the east who see a star over Bethlehem. They interpret that star as a sign or a symbol that the newborn Messiah had been born. And so they travel from the east to go and visit baby Jesus in Jerusalem. What's interesting about that story is that a lot of experts and scholars believe that those wise men were from Babylon. And that those wise men were part of a group of people that Daniel first started or initiated. And that because of Daniel's life, and because of his integrity, and because he was completely reliable, always responsible and trustworthy, because he had such integrity, that he impacted a group of people in Babylon that 500 or 600 or whatever, hundreds of years later, when that star shines, that group knew this was the king, this was the Messiah to go and look after. It might be possible. I realize it's not necessarily comforting, but it might be possible that God wants to use my suffering, your suffering, our suffering, to point people closer to him as well. And when you look back on your life, when you look back and you see those hard times, you see those hard moments, I can almost guarantee that you can see God with you as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this story from the book of Daniel. We thank you for the life of Daniel, for his integrity, how his life matched his values. We thank you that he believed in you and obeyed you, even though there were very tough circumstances around him. We thank you for the example that he is for us, that we can hold true to our values and hold true to our beliefs as well. And Father, I know that there are folks here this morning who may be going through difficult times. And I pray, Father, you continue to draw close to them. I pray that you continue to reveal yourself to us as we go through difficult times. And Father, if it's your will, to use those times to bring people closer to you. We thank you for this time. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen. I want to thank you for coming out this morning. You are dismissed. Have a great day.